In Genesis is where we're going to start this morning. In the 19th chapter. And we're going to bounce around through that chapter, but I just want to put a start to this sermon. It has been a hard week. I have struggled hard this week with this message. Not that I was trying to go against what he was saying, but I'm going to warn you straight out. Today I'm not going to be nice. Your toes are going to hurt. I can't help it. When it's on my heart, it's time. In the 19th chapter of Genesis, I want you to read one verse with me, or follow along with me. The 15th verse. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." We're going to hold it right there. We got a lot to go through, so I hope you are ready for the next 2 hours. Let us pray. Father, strengthen us, open our hearts, set our minds at your tune. The words that are coming today, let them be made to understand, to strengthen us, to walk closer to you, to prepare us better for what we are going to go through. In Jesus' name I pray for this. Amen. Dr. Wilbur Chapman, a distinguished minister. Dr. Wilbur Chapman, a powerful minister, told of a story of Dr. Howard from Australia who preached very strongly on the subject of sin. And brothers and sisters, that is escaping our pulpits today. Preachers are refusing to do it. Well, not today. After the service, people hauled him in the study because they wanted to talk to him, the elders and the leaders in the church. And they said, "Dr. Howard, we don't want you to talk so openly about this because of a man's guilt and corruption. If our young people hear, if the boys and girls hear you discussing it, they'll become sinners a whole lot more easily. Call it a mistake if you will, but don't ever speak so plainly about sin." Dr. Howard took down a small bottle and he showed it to the minister. He said, "You see what's on that there label? That says strychnine. That is poison. That's why it's in red underneath. Poison! You know what you're asking me to do?" he said. "Suppose you say I make a label up and put over the front of that peppermint or essence of peppermint. You understand what would happen? Someone would use it, not knowing the dangers involved, and they would surely die. And so it is too with the matter of sin. The milder you make the label, the more dangerous you make the poison. Welcome to rattlesnake logic. I promise you today, I don't have any here." It was a very struggled week for me this week. There was things going on. I hear things constantly in the back of my mind. I get struggled sometimes with where I have to work. Because let's face it, I work in heavy construction in a utility industry. There ain't no governors on most of them mouths. That's where the Lord put me. So before I start with this little story I want to tell, you need to understand, I do not in any way condone the wholesale slaughter of rattlesnakes. I don't tell you you should wander into the woods and start killing them left and right. They're God's creatures, but they have a place, and that's out in the woods. Now you know how I feel about black snakes. Catch all you want, bring them to me, I'll put them all around the house. I would try to put one in the house, but then I'd be single. But I have a point to make today based on Lot in Genesis 19. This story I heard either the end of last week or the beginning of this week, and it rattled around up here forever. And I struggled with the sermon title, and I didn't, man, I don't want to call it this. And she knows. Diane can tell you. I didn't give it to her Wednesday because I was like, there's got to be a different way to call this. Lord, how about we just call it Pay Attention or something like that? No! So on Saturday, Friday morning when I called her up, I said, "Here's the sermon title." They were awful quiet on the other end of the line. Okay. Can't wait to hear what this is about. Months after the bombing in Boston, people were trying to make sense of these nuts, these idiots, these atheists, if you will, who did this. They were trying to understand what in the world happened, and everybody was all wound up. The media was all fired up about it. Why? Why? And a fellow in Texas, and I don't know where this came from, but goes on and says, this fellow in Texas says this, called rattlesnake logic. He says, here in West Texas, I have rattlesnakes all over my place. They live among us. I kill a rattlesnake on the front porch. I've killed them on the back porch. I've killed them in the barn, in the shop, in the driveway, under the car, on the basement steps, in the trough where I feed my horses. I have killed rattlesnakes. And as a matter of fact, I kill every single rattlesnake that I encounter on my property. I kill rattlesnakes because I know a rattlesnake will bite me and inject me with poison. I don't stop to wonder why a rattlesnake will bite me. I know it will bite me because it's a rattlesnake, and guess what? That's what rattlesnakes do. I don't try to reason with a rattlesnake. I just kill it. I don't try to get to know the rattlesnakes better so that I can fully understand them and find a better way to live with them and try to convince them not to bite me. I just kill them. I don't quiz rattlesnakes to see if I can find out where the other snakes are because A, they won't tell me. B, I already know where they live on my place. So I just kill that one and move on to the next one. I don't look for ways that I might be able to change the rattlesnake into a non-poisonous rat snake. I know for every rattlesnake I kill, there are two more lurking out there in the bush, in my barn, in my shop, in my hedgerow. And in my lifetime, pay attention, I will never, ever be able to rid my place of rattlesnakes. Do I fear them? No. Do I respect what they do to me? Yes. And because of that respect, I will give them fair justice and I will kill them. That's a lot of strong words. And somebody might be like, all right, where are you going? There is an old Indian story, and I've told it once before, that followed this up, about an Indian who was trying to climb a high mountain. And as he was coming down the mountain, he encountered a rattlesnake that was pretty near froze to death. And the rattlesnake talked to him and said, would you please put me under your cloak? May I stay warm? And take me down to the valley of the sun that I may warm myself and not die up here freezing to death. And a young Indian boy gathered the rattlesnake up and he put him in his cloak. And he took the journey back down the mountain. And when he got down to where the weather was warm and the snake began to warm up, the snake bit him. And the young Indian boy said, why? And he said, you knew I was a rattlesnake when you picked me up. That is sin. You understand where I'm coming from now? If you live amongst sin and you don't fight it off, it is going to bite you. Say amen. Amen. Let me know you're with me. If you walk around in amongst sin all the time and you start to get wore down, you don't know it's there after a while. Open your Bible back up to 19 there in Genesis. Let's talk about Lot a little bit. Lot, Abraham's nephew. Could you have in all of your life wanted to be a nephew of somebody more famous than Abraham? I mean, Abraham, that's God's man. And Abraham favored Lot, loved him. My uncle loves me too. He loves me so much that I'm 40. Am I 6 yet? 45. I'm still 45. I'm 45 years old and he still fusses at me. And I'm big enough that, you know, as long as I don't do any more squats, I can take a hold of him. It says at the beginning, now there were two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting. Now, I want you to listen to this story. We're going to skip a few verses along through this, but we're going through this chapter. It says, Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. Now, that right there makes my head hurt. He was in the gateway of Sodom. That meant he lived in there. We all know that. He said, when he saw them, he got up to greet them, and he bowed his face down to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. Now, right there out of the gate, he already knows. How many Christians already know what a sin is and continue to watch it happen to them? You know good and well. You know what you're doing the minute you start to do it. And who is guilty of that? Who is the greatest person guilty of that? Me. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. And he prepared for them a meal, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. And of course, you know what happened to men. Come after them. Hey, give it to us. We want to do things with them. Give them here. No, I ain't doing it. Give them here. He was so worried about the fact that the angels were there, and he knew the sin was so great. What did he do? He offered up his daughters. The Bible says right here, what? Look, verse 8. I have two daughters who ain't never been with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can have to do with them what you like. But don't do anything for these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. That is powerful. You know, I have read this story just because I love the part where Sodom and Gomorrah gets burnt to the ground. It was always a kid's story. Sodom and Gomorrah, whoop, it was gone. But after this week, I've read this story with a whole new look at Lot, or let's go ahead and exchange a few names in there. I'll just use my name. Because I'm Lot. And Lot is me. Especially if you're letting yourself walk within sin and not paying attention to it. Get out of the way. You know what they did. They yelled and they beat on the door. And he was standing out there pleading with them. Look, friends. And the Bible says he called them friends. Look. But the two angels did what? They jerked him back inside and they put a light out there and blinded everybody. And they told him, the two men said to Lot, verse 12, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-laws, sons or daughters or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. Now stop. This week on the radio, I heard about, now I'm a technology kind of guy. I love gadgets and anything that beeps and clicks and whirs and has pretty lights. I love it. I would buy everything that comes on that television set if I wasn't married. They had a thing on there the other day about how you can sharpen your knives the most impressive way. And they showed this guy taking a fish with a fillet knife and just right through that thing. I said, oh, I got to have that. I got to have that sharpener. And you know what it was? It was a belt sander. That's how dumb I am. I got a belt sander down the shop. I'm going to iron sharp my own knives. But they wanted $200 for this thing. But you got all this stuff with it. You got to free this and free that and free this. That's how dumb I am. I love technology. And so I listen to this program that talks about up and coming things. And one of the things that they're trying out now is this here new wristwatch. They call it a NIMI or a NIMI, or I call it stupid. This thing listens to your pulse rate because apparently your heart has its own signature. You're smiling now, but you're going to stop in a minute. This thing, once you get it tuned into your body, you just walk around with it on. It'll turn your phone on. You can access your bank account. You just wave your wrist when you go through the store. That's called the mark. Everybody, I want you to hear how easily that snake just slithered in. Man, that's cool. I don't have to reach over and take my finger and push a button on a phone to turn it on. Now I can just wave at it. Turn on. We live in this situation. And as technology progresses, do you realize what was it, about 7-8 years ago? They had a thing where they were going to put a tag in your thumb. Just like they do to dogs and cats. That little chip implant, they were going to put it here in your wrist or in your thumb, and all you had to do is walk up to the store. And the store in New Jersey tried it. Just put your thumb down. And they had access to everything. Now, I ain't no conspiracy crazy nut. I'm telling you, when you hear things like that, if a red flag doesn't pop up, then you've been living too close to sin. Back to Lot. Verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." If you own the Bible, if you got a pencil, I want you to pay attention to verse 16. This is the key verse. When he hesitated. Let me translate that. You ready? When Paul hesitated. When you went, well, verse 16. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them out safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. And as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." That ain't no game. They ain't playing around at that point. This is a simple story about how the sin around us can easily get in if we don't pay attention to it and destroy us. And how does it happen? When you start waging what sin is. When you start allowing it to be, well. I got accused this week because I was making a joke by some people around me, and I made a joke that if this person didn't stop, I was going to grab them by their collar and throw them across the room because I'm used to throwing 100-pound feed sacks, and you didn't look like much more to that than me, and I've had enough of you, and I'm a big old country boy, and I'm going to take a hold of you. And they said, "Well, you can't be no preacher then. You're just like one of us." Man, the brakes came on. Oh, I still wanted to, throw him across the room, but it got me to thinking about that. How close do you live to sin? How close does it pervade your life? How many times this rattlesnake logic is allowed to go on? That man makes it very clear. I have to protect myself and what is mine around my property because them snakes will bite. Sin will come in. This past week, I read where Christians have now been persecuted in this country in the past 7 years harder than they have in the past 200 plus years of our country's existence. Where it's becoming a crime to be a Christian. Don't you think that's the rattlesnakes coming? Don't you think that that's the moment where you have to say to yourself, what is sin and what is not? There's a story I like about an old preacher, big old boy like me. He went to a barbershop one day, and some of the people in the barbershop knew that he was a preacher, and he come in there and sat down. And the barber was known for having a very colorful vernacular. His language was full of sailor speak. Get my drift? And he commenced cutting hair, scissors flying around him, and he was cussing and carrying on. And the guys in the barbershop were, "Okay, wait to see what the preacher does." And he's cussing. And finally, the big old preacher grabbed that barber by the coat and held him down next to his ear and says, "Does that look like a septic tank to you?" How many times have you let it just go on around you? Keep going, keep going. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to be the outcast. I don't want to say anything. Lot was a righteous man. In Peter, we get a warning about what being righteous is. 2 Peter, in his lesson, in verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare angels when they have sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed," now you listen, "who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man was living among them day after day, was so tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. If this is so, the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment." You understand? And we're all guilty of it, letting that stuff swirl around till it becomes to a point where, what do I say? What do I do? When you step out against the Bible, you're starting away. But there's good news. I'll never give you medicine without sugar. That was the only way I could take cough syrup. The good news is you can still be rescued. The good news is you cannot leave what's around you. I'm well aware of that because it's everywhere. You can't insulate yourself. You look like one of them fellas wrapped in bubble wrap. You ever seen them? There's real smart guys that think it's funny. They wrap themselves in bubble wrap and then roll down a hill to see what it feels like. I can tell you what it feels like. It hurts. You can't live in that world. You have to live here. You have to live now. You have to be who you are, a Christian in a world of sin. But don't let it come in. Don't let the gossip take over. Don't let the backbiting take over. Don't let the bitterness take over. That is why it is so important to me on a Sunday morning that you get out of them seats and you say good morning to each other. Because I don't want a bunch of bitter people in here. You're here to worship Christ. He died for you. Hallelujah. And that's where you're at. And regardless of what you do, regardless of how dumb you can be, He knows. And He loves you. Oh my golly, does He love you. He loves you that much. He loves you that much that He would get up on top of that tree. Lot had allowed himself to get stuck. We are more on the attack. We find ourselves just like Lot. We find ourselves enamored with sin. And sometimes we don't even know it. We don't even know that it's being pulled under. Dr. George Sweetings tells that he went up to Niagara Falls. I have never been to Niagara Falls. I want to go to Niagara Falls. I have to confess, I kind of like to try going over it in a barrel. I mean, come on. Looks like fun. He went up to Niagara Falls. What are you laughing at me for? I'd be the dummy that would survive. I'd come out of here like this. He went up to Niagara Falls just to see it, and he watched as the blocks of ice flowed down through there. He could see that there were carcasses of dead fish right there at the top of the ice. That's called a moving buffet. It's called drive-through or fly-through. And these gulls loved it because they would come down, peck that ice, and they would take off, and they would stay at those. And they would go right out to the edge of them falls, and then they'd pull back. They'd go find the next block of ice looking for that meal. He said, but one thing he noticed, that the gulls would continually get closer, and every now and then one would go over the edge. Gone. Do you know why? There was the danger. Here was the meal. Danger, meal. Danger, meal. And as they got closer in that cold air, and I've never been there, but you tell me it gets fiercely cold, they would fly in and keep flying through that mist, and that mist would start to freeze on their wings until... That's the attraction of sin. We don't even know sometimes. Don't even know. And you know why you don't know? Because you quit making a conscious effort somewhere in your head, and I've done this, to not let people know that you're a Christian because you're afraid of the persecution. I don't care. I'm big enough that I don't care, but it doesn't matter. Big, small, Pat Cross, she's little, tall, but she's big in stature because she walks under the shield of the Lord. And that's my prayer. That's my desire. I beg you, pay attention to it. I read this and I thought it was interesting. Imagine all the obstacles that you would have to overcome if you was to walk from New York City to San Francisco. All right, first of all, they used a word in there that's foreign to me, and that's walking. Somebody said the other day, they said, Paul, why don't you buy yourself a bicycle and start riding a bicycle, you know, to get that weight off. I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. If something only has two wheels on it, there better be an engine between them. But imagine walking. A man once did this accomplishment. He found it surprisingly difficult at his biggest hurdle. And you want to know what it was? It wasn't the steep slopes. It wasn't the stretches of desert. It wasn't the hot climates or the cold climates. He said the worst thing that got me down was when I would get them little sand pebbles or them little teeny tiny rocks in my shoe. They would cripple me. And they would build up. Something that small brings down something that big. In rattlesnake logic, that man wanted to protect his property. That's how we ought to be. Willing to fight and kill whatever tries to come in to take us away from that love or to take us down so that the slime and sludge that's around us is happier. Back into Genesis. I'm serious about that verse. If I ain't never seen myself more readily written in the Bible, it's in Genesis chapter 19, verse 16. The first three words. Now, I want you to think about this. Lot had been the big guy. He had been Abraham's nephew. He was doing everything until he got in a fight because he wanted a better life and he wanted a good land. We all know what happened a couple chapters earlier. He went down into the low ground and got himself caught. Wound up living in Sodom. Living in Sodom. Two angels from the Lord have come and said, we're going to blow this place up. God has had enough. In chapter 18, you've already read that part at some point. If you haven't, go back and read it. Three men came to Abraham. Two angels and who? The Lord. And said, that's it. And what Abraham say? If you find 10 men, if I find 10 men, I ain't going to burn it down. So they go to check it out. They don't find them. They find Lot and they tell him, we are going to burn this place to the ground. We are going to destroy it. They'll never even exist. Do you know that today they cannot find evidence where those towns were? They have no clue. Gone. Verse 16, what's it say? When he hesitated. Let me explain something to you. If two angels knocked on the front door of the Leatherman compound today and said, Paul, everything around here is about to be destroyed. You need to leave. They would feel the wind of this fat man running past them. When he hesitated, the men grasped him by the hand and the hands of his wife and the two daughters and led them safely out of the city. That is an occurrence of our Lord showing that even in our most trying moments, when we think that we are overrun by sin, He is still there ready to rescue us. And they said, don't look back. But she did. We all know the story. She turned into a pillar of salt. I'm sure you even heard the old joke. Sunday school teacher was teaching that to her little children. One of the little children said, well, one time when my mommy was driving and looked back, she turned into a telephone pole. But the truth of the matter is, if we allow sin that swirls around us that we can't get away from, that we don't pay attention to it and say, no, this is wrong, I ain't going to get lost in this, we're going to get closer and closer to those falls. But like Lot, when we hesitate, Jesus stands there ready to grab us and pull us out. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Pay attention this week. And think about rattlesnake logic for a little while. Don't dream about it. You'll be all right, Gene. Hey, maybe next Sunday I'll bring one. But anyhow, think about it. Pay attention to it. Remind yourself of it. Don't hesitate. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I know you hear me. And I know that my brothers and sisters right here with me right now are the same. We fall woefully short of the gift your Son gave us. We only have it by grace. And in our daily lives, we continue to mess up. And some people think it's a joke that we can come home and pray to ask for that forgiveness and repent of the sins, but it ain't. If you're praying at night for the forgiveness of the sins of that day and asking repentance, you're there in shame. And oh, how glorious it is when you lead us safely out. How much it must hurt you to see us continually fall short, but how much it must joy you to know that we focus on you, that you have prepared that place for us, and one day we don't have to fight anymore. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, and through our prayers, those we love, from the evil one. And make us stand ready to kill sin as it tries to attack us. This I beg you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's a story about a man that went to heaven. St. Peter said, we're on the point system here. You need 100 points to get in. Start telling me about your life. And the man said, well, I went to church all my life. I contributed heavily. I did everything the preacher asked. St. Peter said, 2 points. The man said, what? He said, what else you got? He said, well, I've been married for 50 years to the same woman. I ain't never cheated on her, not even in my heart. Done everything for her. St. Peter said, 2 points. He said, what in the world? St. Peter says, what else you got? He goes, well, I did great things for the church. I went out and worked in the mission fields. Everybody I saw, I talked to them about the love of our Savior. And I tried to bring souls to them. St. Peter said, 2 points. He said, how in the world? He said, I'm never going to get in here with this kind of rating system. It's only by the grace of Jesus that I could do it. St. Peter said, come on in. That's the grace you have at the altar call. Right here as you need that prayer. You can leave it right here for Him. He'll take care of it. And I'll offer that to you as we sing this last hymn.
Please stand and turn to page 656.